Welcome back to Beyond the Paddock. I'm your host, Sarah, and on today's episode, we will be talking about the Australian Grand Prix. So this past weekend, first race of the season in Australia, and was it an eventful race? There is so much to unpack here, so we're just going to dive right on in. We're going to start right at the beginning at free practice one. And right off the bat, two red flags. Max dragged some gravel onto the track for the first red flag. The second, we had Ollie Bearman's crash. And then we had a yellow flag by Russell. He narrowly avoided contact with the wall at turn four after he clipped the grass. So we just like to point out here really quickly, we were not surprised by the Bearman crash. He seems a little fearful, a little tentative, and yeah, that we're just going to leave it at that. We weren't surprised. And Russell, we do find him underwhelming, and he makes too many mistakes. So again, his yellow flag, we were not surprised by. And Norris came out on top of free practice one, and afterwards we were kind of online and noticed that there seems to be a lot of talk with Sainz. Sainz came second, and we feel like any time that Sainz now beats Hamilton, Ferrari's decision is going to be called into question. There was a lot of talk about like, oh, Ferrari made the wrong mistake, should stay with Sainz. And then it was also questioning Red Bull and Mercedes' decision to not sign Sainz as well. A lot of discussion about that online. Right into free practice two. No Bearman, car still being repaired, significant damage. And in free practice one, Lawson finished behind Tsunoda and Isaac Hadjar. A lot of discussion about this online. Basically, we're going to see the Racing Bulls pitted against Red Bull the entire season, and a lot of talk about they're calling him Slosson, they're calling him Sergio Perez. And Lawson's going to be compared to Yuki the entire season. So basically saying that he cannot be beat by the Racing Bulls going forward. Mercedes and Williams were both out on softs. They seem to be struggling on their soft tires. And then there was the whole incident with Lawson and Norris, where Norris was actively out doing practice starts. Lawson entered the live active pit lane, didn't queue, and went ahead and went slow and almost stopped. So where Norris was queued for the practice start, Lawson seemed to disregard this and pulled up and slowed down. So Norris was forced to go around him. So there was a lot of discussion about that online, a little bit ridiculous. Seems like the entire internet loves to hate on Norris and Lawson. So this was like feeding that. We saw Ferrari come out on top of free practice two with Charles Leclerc setting the fastest time. Into free practice three, poor Ollie Bearman. 3 minutes in, Bearman locks up and went into the wall in turn 11, and it was his first push lap. So his crash from FP1 saw Bearman needing a new power unit, so now the car is now being recovered for even more work. Lawson in FP3 was having power unit issues, so this kept him in the garage the entire session. He did have to return to the pit lane and abandon his push lap. And we saw Oscar Piastri coming out on top from free practice three. So qualifiers. So Q1, Bearman, this poor kid, Bearman gets out on track and he has a problem with his gearbox. So he's back in the pits and out. We had a yellow flag out for a moment when Liam Lawson locked up on turn three and he went into the gravel, but he was able to recover. And we saw Antonelli having to bring his car in because his car was sparking. And there was a lot of discussion. He did go over a curb and must have dislodged something, but there was talk about how serious, like what could have been dislodged. So we saw Norris on top of Q1, and out was Antonelli, Hulkenberg, Lawson, Ocon, and Bearman. And a little bit shocking to see both Red Bull and Mercedes lose a car in Q1. So on to Q2, Alonso into the gravel. He had to go into the pits. It was nice to see that halfway through Q2, we in the top six, there was five different teams. That's super cool. We love that. Ferrari seemed to be overheating their rear tires and not really challenging the front row at all. Sorry, Ferrari fans. And Bortoleto almost crashed into the wall and had a fantastic save, especially for a rookie, but it did ruin his lap. And Lewis Hamilton spun in the middle of the track, and it did seem to compromise at the end a lot of the driver's flying laps. So Norris topped the Q2 session again, and out in Q2 were Hajar, Alonso, Stroll, Doohan, and Bortoleto. And right into Q3, we'd like to applaud Williams. We saw both Williams cars advance into Q3. Right off the bat, McLaren banker laps. Both of them were gone. Piastri leading lost it on his last turn. He could not keep it tight, and this mistake cost him. He was also very cautious on the brakes. So he could have taken pole, but due to some mistakes being made, he did lose it on his last turn. Norris had great lap time, but due to a mistake, he exceeded track limits. He saw his lap time deleted. So both McLarens then were back in pits and were going to be forced to have to rely on one final flying lap. So it was not looking good for McLaren. But all in all, they did end up locking out the front roll with Norris taking pole, with Piastri in second. Then we saw Max Verstappen and George Russell in third and fourth, Yuki and Alex in fifth and sixth, and then Charles and Lewis seventh and eighth, and Pierre Gasly and Carlos Sainz in ninth and tenth. Yuki ahead of both Ferraris, as well as Alex Albon ahead of both Ferraris. So a lot of talk now about Yuki versus Lawson, how Yuki outqualified Lawson during the last seven races of last season. And then there was just a lot of talk about how Yuki should have had the seat, but he has too many ties to Honda. Honda's leaving Red Bull to go to Aston Martin in 2026. So the Red Bull relationship is over. So why would they invest in Yuki? So just a lot of discussion about why Yuki wasn't in the seat, how Lawson was getting a lot of online hate, a lot, being compared to Sergio Perez, being called Slowson, but a lot of comparisons being drawn to Yuki after Q3. So we head right into Sunday to the Grand Prix, and our poor rookie Isaac Hajar in the formation lap crashes and out of turn one. Like, he, on the formation lap, seemed to be trying to warm up his tires and spun right out. So he was out before the race even started. It was actually quite hard to watch because this poor kid was losing it. He was being consoled by a race marshal on the sides. And then when he was walking back to his, to the racing bulls, they followed him with the camera, and it was so distressing to watch this poor kid. He just needed a moment of privacy. Big kudos out to Lewis Hamilton's dad, who stepped up and called out Red Bull, who made a comment afterwards about how he shouldn't have been crying, and basically was like, these are still kids. Like, and he did the right thing. He gave him a hug. He consoled him. He told him he was going to be a fantastic driver. He had lots of races ahead of him. And just to keep his head up. So kudos to Anthony Hamilton. So now we're down to 19 drivers. They line up. Norris had a great start. But right before turn six, he kept ahead. Norris kept in the lead. Verstappen gets ahead of Piastri, but right before turn six in lap one, Doohan goes into the wall. There's a yellow flag, and then unfortunately under the safety car on turn 14, Sainz into the wall. Sainz, over the radios, you could hear him commented that maybe he thought there was a surge in the engine. So then we line up, there's a restart. Sorry, there's no lineup, sorry. Under the safety car, there's the restart. And it's Norris, Max, Oscar. Norris keeps his position. And now we're down to, on this restart, we're down to 17 drivers. Then there was Alonso and Yuki both were under investigation for safety car infringements, for leaving more than 10 car lengths in front of them to try to give themselves a bit of a jump start. We didn't see DRS enabled into lap 12. I guess they thought the track was dry enough by then. We see some excitement. Antonelli overtook Hülkenberg, but then he spun out and Hülkenberg got by him again. Turn 17, Verstappen locked up a bit. He ran a little wide and then Piastri was able to move back up into second. Hamilton and Albon were noted for safety car violation. Then we see Antonelli overtaking Hülkenberg again. And everyone was cleared. So Alonso, Yuki, Alex, and Lewis were all cleared of their safety car infringements. So we're getting into by lap 21. The real important thing here is the tire strategy. And then, okay, so we're going to speak to this. There was a lot of talk about Oscar fans online. Total craziness going on. So the McLarens now in 1 and 2 they're lapping the slower cars ahead of them, and the conditions were not great. And Zach Brown had given, they were racing each other, like Oscar and Lando were racing each other, and they were asked to hold position while they were dealing with these back markers. Because if it did get messy, like as they were trying to pass these cars, they risked a double DNF, right? So that's not something we wanted to see as they were holding a 1-2. So after they were able to pass the lap cars, they were told they could fight again. And this is where a lot of people online seem to be getting quite upset that Oscar was told to hold. Now, we'd like to point out here that, first off, for fans who might not know, that when you're seeing the radio, like the broadcast, when you're watching the race on TV and you see the radios come up where it's telling Oscar to hold or Lando to hold, these are delayed on the broadcast. Like when you're seeing them on TV, they're delayed. It's not real time. So you really need to watch the onboards to see, like to get context of where in the race the hold was being asked, because they look like they're on the straight. They're racing each other. It looks like Oscar's like right on Lando's back. But in fact, that's not where the hold happened, where the request for the hold happened. Okay. So they were told to hold in the sections where they were passing the back markers. And it was only for a moment. Like the hold was being asked, like they said to Oscar, don't fight here, hold pace. But Lando was also asked to hold pace. Like he was being told to hold too while they were passing to manage his tires. So the hold was for both of the McLaren drivers. Over the radio, you heard Oscar question this, thinking he was faster. But then later on, racers in the moment are going to think that, right? Like the hold was only until they had clear track and they passed the cars. Oscar thought he was faster, but in fact, afterwards, when you looked at the racing statistics, Lando had him beat. Lando was faster in sectors 1 and 3. And where Oscar thought he was faster was only because Lando had been told to manage his pace and hold to save his tires. Oscar was pushing, Lando was not. So that would create, like, Oscar would feel like he was faster in the moment. And he did really only catch Lando because he was, like, lapping the cars ahead of him, and he was managing his tires and his pace at that time, and was saving his tires. So after they passed the lap cars and they were free to race again, Oscar couldn't match pace with Lando. Lando then was able to create a gap and pulled out of the DRS zone ahead of Oscar. And then Oscar tried to push too much to catch up. And he just made a critical error. He's still, Oscar makes a lot of mistakes, unfortunately. Like, he's still a newish driver. And the mistake he made was quite costly. He did put his wheel into the gravel, which then caused him to spin out into the grass. And we'd just like to point out here too, we don't want to get too far ahead, but we're looking at this on a whole and like from a team perspective. This mistake was also very costly to the team. Like, he left Lando out ahead to fight on his own again, like without support from a teammate, because he fell so far behind, which we saw at the end of last season. So Lando again had to like, it would have been nice had he had a teammate when he had Verstappen breathing down his neck at the end of the race, but Oscar again, nowhere to be found. He had to climb his way back up to ninth. And then, it did affect team standings. So McLaren's now tied with Mercedes. It's only one race in, we get it, but it's just showing that these mistakes can be costly. It can affect the driver standing, it can affect your teammate, and it can also affect the team standing, because now McLaren and Mercedes are tied where McLaren could have been far ahead. So these mistakes can be quite costly on the team. So we're just going to leave it at that. There's a lot of online chatter about that, but people need to realize that the radios aren't live. Okay, so one of the funniest moments and meme-worthy moments of the race was lap 25, when Leclerc radios in that he's sitting in a seat full of water, and he's asking if there's a leak, and his race engineer's like, maybe it's the water from your, like, the water in your car, like the drinking water. And Leclerc quips back with like, I'm going to add that to like your words of wisdom. Like, it was quite funny in the moment. And then we see, okay. So then we talked about how, Oscar went into the gravel, and then, on lap 34, we saw Alonso just out of turn 7 into the wall. He brings out another safety car. We see a lot of cars boxing now, and there was a lot of discussion, like hard tires, medium tires, what's going to happen? Is there going to be rain? Is there not going to be rain? Then there was a lot of discussion. They had a truck out on track, like, and we think back to Jules Bianchi, but it was under a safety car, so the situations are different. Bianchi was racing to get back to the pits. Like, a lot was happening here. A lot of online chatter about this. Do we send Norris in for inters? That's what people were talking about. The team seemed to be pressuring him. He didn't want to go in yet. Then we see Barrichello getting in a 5-second penalty because he had an unsafe release on Lawson. So now we have another restart. This time there's 16 cars. Norris maintains his lead and creates another gap to Piastri. By lap 44, we see Norris with fantastic pace. This is where on lap 44, Norris has created a bit of a gap, but Piastri takes a yellow flag because both McLarens did hit rain at the same time. Norris was able to recover his car where Piastri was not. Norris pits under Piastri's flag, and then Max Verstappen moves up to first. And here we saw Oscar was not at his home race. He was not going to DNF. He reversed his car out of the grass. He was not going to give up, and he was able to get out and keep going. So applause to Oscar on this. But this did ruin his race, and he was a lap down. So unfortunate for Oscar in his home race. Lap 46, we see Max pitting. Lando gets ahead of Max. Hamilton takes the lead. And lap 47, Hamilton's still in the lead ahead of Norris. But then by the end of lap 47, Norris moves up back into the lead. And then we take another yellow flag. We see both Lawson and Barrichello crashing out into the wall. By lap 51, we're on yet another restart with only 14 cars. And now we have on lap 51 at the restart, it's Norris. The top five are Norris, Verstappen, Russell, Albon, and Antonelli. And Norris is seen having to take another restart with Verstappen right behind him with no help from his teammate. He's able to keep the lead again. And Norris, I will say, was very good on restarts during this race and very good on picking up his pace during the restarts. And then we see Piastri taking another mistake on the restart. He passed Ocon before the line, so he had to give the place back. We only have two rookies by this point of the race remaining, Antonelli and Bearman. I'm happy for Bearman. And then we see Piastri moving up to 11. By lap 54, the sun's out. So now this poses a whole other problem. Like, everyone's like, oh, great, the sun's out. But no, like, these racers are out there with, there's now glare, and I highly doubt any of them had their tints on their visors at this point because of how heavy the rain was before. So now the sun can create a whole other issue. Lap 54, DRS is enabled again. And now we have the Albon versus Antonelli battle for fourth and the Gasly and Piastri battle for 10th. So we see Norris with fastest lap, but there's no longer a fastest lap point. Lap 56, Max has DRS on Norris, and he is hunting him down. Antonelli is noted for an unsafe release and takes a 5-second penalty. So he was in fourth, but we see this moving him to fifth. We enter the final lap. There's only half a second between Norris and Max, and Norris is being told to remain calm and not to overdrive, just to maintain his pace. And we do see Lando in Max's conditions. Max loves a wet race. He is able to take the win, the first win of the season. And just a note on this race, Norris controlled the race beautifully. This was a world driver champion drive, we feel. He was under enormous pressure from Max in the rain, and his drive was sensational in our opinion. This race threw everything at him. There were safety cars, there was restarts, changing weather conditions, pressures from behind. He got his strategy right, his restarts right, his tire strategy right, and his race pace right. And it was a fantastic drive. So the first time in 1,029 days, a driver who is not named Max Verstappen is leading the F1 championship. So congratulations to Lando Norris. Now we have some other notes here. When did we ever think we'd see Kick Sauber with more points than Ferrari? Because that is amazing. Congratulations to Hulkenberg and Bortoletto and George. Oh my gosh, George Russell. So our top 10. So we'd like to note here that Mercedes did appeal to Antonelli unsafe release, and it was reversed. So originally we had Albon in fourth and Antonelli in fifth, but that has been reversed. So Norris, Verstappen, Russell, Antonelli, Albon, Stroll, Hulkenberg in seventh, Leclerc, Piastri got himself up to ninth for points, and Hamilton are your top 10. And we would just like George. George is this guy who does absolutely nothing this race. He was basically invisible. He did nothing sensational, kept himself out of trouble, kept himself out of the wall. And he just has this ability to show up and be on podium. Right place, right time. Like, here he is, just happy to be there. So we think that's hilarious. We see driver of the day being taken by Norris. Antonelli is our rookie of the day. We'll have to say that. And Russell, you forget about him, but yes, he just keeps himself handy and manages to get on podium every time. So our podium was Norris, Verstappen, and Russell. We see Norris taking his 10th career pole. So now our World Driver Championship, our top five are Norris, Verstappen, Russell, Antonelli and Albon. Congratulations, Alex. And our Constructors' Championship are right now, are the top five are tied for first, McLaren and Mercedes, then Red Bull, Williams in fourth. Congratulations to William and Aston Martin. But we would like to shout out Stake Sauber, who's sitting in sixth position. So this was an outstanding Grand Prix. It threw everything at us. Red flags, yellow flags, power units changes. We saw rookies crashing left, right, and center. We saw crashes in the formation lap, changing weather conditions. It was crazy, absolutely crazy. And we're so excited to be doing this again in China next weekend. So please join us next Monday as we go over the Chinese Grand Prix. Thank you.